The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
And welcome. Welcome in. We've got an emergency podcast here. Welcome into the Pride of Detroit PODcast. Jeremy's on vacation, which leaves me the adequate host at Christopher Fett. Christopher Fett on Twitter at Christopher Fett. I'm screwing it up already because we do adequacy here. And the free agent period hasn't begun quite yet. The league calendar is not switched over yet, but we have what's called a tampering period. We tinker, we tamper, and do all those things. And yes, that means there is unofficial, official news out for the Detroit Lions. So we got an emergency pod to handle right now three signings. While I was planning this with my co-host, I'll introduce in a second, it was just two. Now we've got up to three. Might go up to more while we're recording. We'll see. But let's bring in Morgan Cannon at mcannon313, who last I saw him was around the time of the draft last year. And right. Happy to have him back.
What's up, guys? Yeah, and I think Ryan called it, or I don't know if he got it from somewhere, but pre-agency earlier. And I thought that was pretty brilliant. So, yeah.
Called what?
Pre-agency, he called it.
Oh, pre-agency. Oh, I like that. I like that. All right. Give credit to Ryan on that. He comes up with good stuff now and then. And yeah, it's, I mean, we're all sitting here waiting for some insane stuff to happen. We're all sitting here for the, let's talk about the new face though. And you know, I know the rest of the world is waiting for Aaron Rodgers to finally make his damn decision, but here in Lions land, the Lions have welcomed in a new cornerback. They actually went and spent a good chunk of money to bring Cameron Sutton from the Pittsburgh Steelers to the Detroit Lions. 28 years old. He gets about, I think, what was the deal? About $23 million over the course of 3 years. I don't think we have the full... You were doing the write-up. What was the full numbers on that?
Yeah, we don't have the full details yet, but yeah, 3 years.
$33 million. Excuse me.
Yeah, to $33 million.
Is $2.5 million of that is guaranteed with about an $11 million signing bonus on that, with two void years on top. So I want to get into this first. I know there's a couple of big re-signings we got to talk about with the Lions, but Cam Sutton, I thought, there was conversations on our primer. How much are the Lions really going to be doing in free agency? Cam Sutton, I think, from what I remember from some of the previews, was probably the third cornerback of available free agents out there. He's had very good years with the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll get into those. And he's 28. And so this Lions kind of signing a guy who's right in the middle of his prime right now.
Right. And I mean, he had his best season as a pro last year in Pittsburgh. So that's something that can't be overstated. And I mean, yeah, this is just a good signing in my opinion. It didn't break the bank. Sutton's going to come in and he's going to compete right away, you know, for one of those outside cornerback positions. And then as of now, you'd have Jerry Jacobs and Jeff Okuda probably competing for the other one opposite him. He gives you some positional versatility. He played, you know, he's played in his years in Pittsburgh in the nickel, outside, some safety looks. So he's done it all. And
I think he's even taken some offensive snaps as well.
I mean, I believe it. It's Mike Tomlin. So I love Mike Tomlin. But yeah, I mean, I think this is great. It solidifies things. And I think Jeremy said it on one of the recent pods. And this is just a good way to think of it. And I know a lot of executives do, but keeping your blatant needs at a minimum is great. Like, so the Lions aren't, you know, pigeonholed in taking a corner with 6 or 18 here. They can go a myriad of different ways.
Which is funny, because one of the worries, actually, the one downside that I could maybe say from this signing is that now Pittsburgh, from everything I've read, Cameron Sutton was their one productive cornerback. Now without him, Pittsburgh, who drafts 18, is now suddenly very much so their high priority, unless they sign someone here in the free agency period, which I don't think is going to happen. So their high priority is cornerback right in front of the Lions at 18.
And I still think it's going to be, but while we were booting up Twitch, it dropped. They signed Patrick Peterson.
They signed Patrick Peterson. Wonderful.
Yes, football.
I think though the rest of their cornerback class still isn't great, but
your point stands still. I still think.
I think they were still cornerback needy coming into this year, and I think they're just even more so. Patrick Peterson isn't going to be a long term solution. Versus if they had re-signed Cam Sutton, I don't think it would have been as much of a need for them. But yes, Peterson's a signing that only keeps them around for like a year or two. But yeah, let's talk about what he brings to the table in that regard, because you mentioned he goes to the outside right away, and he probably competes against Okuda for one of the two CB slot and Jerry Jacobs. And honestly, I think he might already be CB1 just by what he's produced this past year with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I think so. Unless, you know, which is still, like you said, a very, you know, realistic option. The Lions could take a Christian Gonzalez or someone like that as high as six. So, you know, they technically could, but like you said, because Sutton has those, you know, he has the repetitions and he's been here he's been in the league, you know, several years now. I think he probably will pencil in as a quarterback one.
So he allowed last year, just so people know, he allowed 32 receptions and 72 targets. So a 44.4% completion percentage allowed, tied for the fourth lowest in a season since 2016.
Yeah, his numbers speak for themselves. There was a bunch of next gen stats that supported. He had a really good season last year. Mm-hmm. Really, really good.
Very, very good. It from what I saw, like Pittsburgh writers were saying, like, he's a priority to re-sign. The only thing I'll talk about that is the matter of the money itself, because I know it's been a bit of point of contention among Lions Twitter, whether or not, like, I've seen. Let me just say this right off the bat. And I know they do a lot of great work, but these PFF evaluations kind of making me scratch my head a little bit when it comes to free agents. I think they've been very low, and I've seen people quote them. Whereas I know some people poo-poo on SpotTrack, but SpotTrack was saying $23 million and straight on for him. Like, I don't think this is quote-unquote a steal for the Lions, but I also don't think that it's – like, we have to stop, like, looking at free agency as just steals and overpaying. Like, I think this is a fair deal across the board for both the Lions and for Cam Sutton. Cam Sutton, I think, gets exactly what he is worth right now. And the Lions get exactly what they need for a cornerback unit that was incredibly bad last year.
Right. And until the specifics come out for his, like, yes, we know it's 3 years, $33 million, but just like a lot of these contracts, like the Patrick Mahomes one, right? That's like... Mm-hmm. Worth up to $500 million. Like, he's probably not going to see the totality of that contract. We just don't know if it's, you know, what was it? It was 3 years, $33 million. And I believe you said it was 22 and a half guaranteed.
Yes.
So that's a lot of, you know, there's wiggle room in there, and that's the going rate. You know, it's market value. I don't think it's a vast overpay, and we'll just kind of have to, you know, wait and see if he does, you know, come in and prove to be a competent starter on the outside for the Lions.
Go on.
That's basically it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, look, the guy's 28 years old, 3 years, you get him in basically the entire prime of his career right there. And if he likes it here, maybe you get the option for some extra years on top of him near the end. And I like the signing. I like the production. I like he has been healthy throughout his career as well. Always hard to chart with the NFL, but he has always been, you know, best ability is availability, as the Rock God would say. And he's been able to be there all around. And I see the pain from the Steelers that they couldn't keep him around. So I'm going to chalk this all up as a big W.
Yeah, I mean, just like, listen to what Cam Hayward had to say on the -3 podcast here. He said, there are so many different things Cam Sutton does that go unnoticed. He can play nickel. He can play outside. He can play the dime. The fact that you can move him around and the fact that he plays with a little bit of a mean streak, he is a guy that I really do appreciate. So to me, that means, I know we've been talking about it so far in this offseason, but the Lions kind of need their Amon-Ra St. Brown on defense. Like, maybe Cam Sutton's that guy. Maybe he's kind of the tone setter. Like, hey, you talk junk, you're going to, you know, he might come up and hit you really hard, or he's going to let you know. Like, he might be one of those kind of players. So yeah, just judging by what everyone's saying.
Yeah, I was reading from some of our interview with the Steelers people too, and like he exceeds at versatility, communication. So you kind of hope for him to be really someone who can kind of call coverages. And like, I mean, on the downside, though, maybe not the fastest out there, but I don't think I really need a cornerback to be insanely fast. I thought I saw someone on Twitter talking about he ran a 4.5 or something, but that's not too big of a problem when it comes to corners at the end of the day. No, I need someone who's going to be a fast twitch.
Exactly. And some of these numbers, like I know we've been talking about Brian Branch from Alabama, and he didn't run a fast time. I believe it was like in the high 4.5s too, off the top of my head. But I mean, for Sutton, I went and looked. He was a freshman All-American at Tennessee, three-time All-SEC and two-time All-American. So who really cares about a 40 and under? Come on.
Yeah. I know he was a bit of a late bloomer in the NFL, but I think we're all very good on the measurables here. Go on.
No, I was just going to say that just seems like they kind of slow played his development. Like it just kind of brought him along, like gave him chunks at a time. But also, yeah, maybe he could have been. I don't really know from the beginning of his career, but go on.
Yeah, no, that's all I had to say. And like cornerbacks blooming late, that's a tale as old as the NFL at this point. Uh-huh. Let's move on to a couple of the re-signings, and I think this might be a little more contentious for some of the fans right now. I can already see our chat live on twitch.tv/Pride of Detroit. You've been wanting us to get to this, so real quick, let's do Isaiah Buggs before we get into the big topic. Isaiah Buggs earned himself very early this morning, one of the first moves the Lions did. I think they also re-signed Craig Reynolds. But he had been tendered an ERFA, but he was this morning. He went ahead and they didn't use the ERFA tender on Craig Reynolds. They signed him to a new contract. So interesting. Keep him. Any thoughts about that before we do Buggs real quick? Or
With Reynolds, you know, you're getting. You know, he's a great insurance policy. I believe he was contributing on special teams to an extent as well. If someone were to go down, he's a dependable one cut back that's probably going to get what's blocked for him. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of one of those, you know, similar to Jamal. But yeah, I mean, that's just a good insurance policy in my opinion.
All right. And then Isaiah Buggs, who I think balled out this year. What we have for Isaiah Buggs is let me get all the details here. It is a 2-year deal worth up to $6 million from Tom Pelissero. Dave Burkett kind of has the breakdown on it, that it's 2.1 mil fully guaranteed at signing, 4.5 mil base with another 1.5 in incentives. So Lions are going to have Isaiah Buggs, who I thought had a phenomenal year for two more years if they want him. So, but I think this was kind of a no-brainer, and it's a cheap one too. I think Buggs like has played very well. He's still probably, I mean, they seem to rotate their tackles quite a bit anyway. But Buggs is definitely in for specific packages, and I think it's a fair contract.
Yeah, and I think the consensus, I thought most Lions fans seemed happy about Buggs being back. I mean, if you remember early on in the season when things were really bad on the defense before they started trending up, before the bye, the Lions were rolling with a lot of Aleem McNeil and Benito Jones, and they were just kind of too light in the middle, and Brockers was still out there quite a bit. And then after the bye, they switched it up. They moved Buggs to the nose or the one tech, and then moved Aleem over to the three tech. So all of a sudden you go from kind of slim to pretty thick in a great way, you know, and it started working, and Aleem started making plays at the three tech because he's a freaky athlete at whatever weight he is, like 340, whatever he walks around.
Yeah. At. Yeah. Our culture loves thick.
Yeah, we do. Buggs, So it's fair value. I'm glad he's back. He became a vocal leader, but I still kind of stand by the fact that you don't want Bugs being your day one starter next to Aleem if you can help it, because I do think they still need a difference maker next to him. And if Bugs is in the rotation, that's great. You just don't want him logging, what was it, over 700 defensive snaps again. That's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
For a guy like Bugs.
Let's get on to the one that I think is making everyone angry a little bit. And that is, which I'm going to go ahead and say, like, I'm not sure why, but I'll try to explain why I want to push back on the narrative. But the Lions then, right as we were trying to go live, and it changed a lot of our plans here for this emergency podcast. And I already see chat keeps throwing in other team signing stuff. So hopefully by the time we finish recording this thing, it's not going to be completely outdated. But Alex Anzalone, the Lions have decided to bring back their veteran linebacker to a 3-year deal. And it is a significant, significant deal. It is a 3-year deal worth, according to Ian Rappaport, $18.75 million. Now, this is for context. This is coming off last year after where he re-signed with the Lions. Now, granted, he had a bad 2021. He had a bad 2021. The Lions re-signed him on the cheap in 2022 for $2.25 million. Now they have, he played better. He played decent this past year, especially down the stretch. And now the Lions have rewarded him with a 3-year deal worth about $6 million a year. This one's going to be a bit contentious.
Yeah, we knew it was going to be. As soon as I saw this break when we were prepping, I was like, oh man. I mean, so again, Anzalone, like you said, played better in 2022. But again, guys, 2021, it probably would have been tough for any linebacker to look competent behind that front and what they were working with and what they weren't working with at the time. So he played better. We'll have to see the specifics when the contract details do come out, because, you know, we don't know that, like you mentioned when we were in our prep, Chris, that could be, that third year could be largely voided and, you know, they could cut bait after the second year with, you know, limited dead cap. So we just got to wait and see for the full details to come out. But this, again, similar to the cornerback position, I don't think this stops the Lions from taking a linebacker in the draft, you know, not necessarily on day one, but, you know, another, you know, later, day two or day
three. Yeah, and they've got Rodrigo, who's still developing too. So I'm sure, like, I kind of keep expecting Anzalone to keep playing. I know fans are not happy with his production, but I would point you to like weeks 13 to the end of the year, where, you know, the Lions largely fixed a lot of their issues on some of their issues, I would say, on the front seven, and Anzalone started to contribute a lot better at that point. I think he even logged some sacks as well. I think across the league right now, you're looking at kind of similar numbers for other linebackers right now. I think Tremaine Edmonds got 4 years, $72 million. Jermaine Pratt got 3 years, $21 million. So yeah. I'm not saying Anzalone is one of those guys, but I think this is the key on this. And this is something I think fans need to understand. Like, when you do sign guys, these small prove it deals, like Anzalone got last year, where he only got just north of $2 million, and he does end up proving it even for part of a season, you have to kind of honor that at the end of the day. I know fans, I know we are inclined in our age to think of these guys like Madden pieces, where if you don't pass a certain grade, you just cut bait on it. But if you're going to do prove it deals on guys, you kind of need to, when they hold up their end of the bargain to a nominal degree, and we can quibble about what is holding up your end of the bargain, but I think Anzalone qualified to hold it up. He played at about average, what I expect for a linebacker. And to be honest, like, you can't just go ahead and just cut on that. You have to, at some point, when you're saving a lot of money on certain 1-year deals with guys, at some point that's going to come due, and damn it, like, he sacrificed some money for you. You kind of have to, you have to turn around and say, all right, you did good by us, now let us do good by you. That's how you build relationships in this business. And football is a business. These guys are professionals. So I understand the frustration about the money they kicked to him, but I also believe that it was the right thing to do professionally, maybe not as far as like building a Madden team or a fantasy league or whatever, but professionally, it was the right thing to do for the Lions. You can quibble with the money. I don't think it completely ties up their cap situation, though. So I'm not going to be a full blown panic about the Anzalone money.
No, and it could be backloaded to where the cap hit is minimal this year. We just don't, you know, we won't know the specifics until they come out. And yeah, I'm with you on the fact that they do need to reward people, like similar to what they've done now with Anzalone and Bugs, you know, giving them a little pay bump, and they came in and done, you know, did what was asked for them. We all knew the coaching staff loved Anzalone. So
yeah, he's a leader on the team. He's a leader on the defense. He still gives you that veteran presence that we keep talking about. He's known Dan for a long time from New Orleans. And again, like, I mean, shit, just look at what he did in week 18, getting the pressure. Like, Kirby Joseph owes several of those picks because of the pressure Anzalone was putting on Aaron Rodgers.
Yep, that's true. I agree.
It's hard. Linebacker's a hard position. I'm not going to go out and fully throat defend it, but I think also at the same time, like, this was, you kind of needed to do this.
Yes, and it doesn't, like we talked about, it doesn't stop them from taking somebody, and, you know, he can sit behind. They still have Derek Barnes under contract. You have Malcolm Rodriguez at the will. You have Anzalone as your starter at the mic if need be. You might have some competition there, or somebody who's at least splitting snaps with them. You never know. So, or you have a third safety, Brian Banks, come on down, that is taking up a bunch of snaps because you're in three safety looks. So, yeah, there's a myriad of things that could be going on, so.
We're going to wrap up this emergency podcast here. We're going to keep the stream going. If you're watching us live on twitch.tv, me and Morgan will hang around. But Morgan, this was fun to have you in here for a quick one here. And we'll probably do it again at some point. We're still waiting for some key signings between Jamal Williams and someone that I've never heard of named John Kaminsky. I'm going to get tired of that joke here very soon. It's almost reaching kneecap levels, I think. So.
I don't even know if I will. I think it's hilarious every time you guys do the John Kaminsky thing. I appreciate it. I'm sure I'll be on a couple more times this week or however long Jeremy decides.
We got to gear it. He's got to stay in Florida a little bit longer so we can have you just sitting around here blazing. Yes. And that, definitely during the draft, we're going to have a lot of fun again this year too.
Oh, yeah. But, I'm excited about that already, gearing up.
But we'll close out this podcast. We're going to keep streaming on Twitch. Thank you all. We'll see you Starside.